Let's bring in Brian Lott, and he's our NHL analyst in the NHL Network. Brian, coaches have to be, I mean, line juggling is great when it works and when things fall into place and you win a game and everything, but there's really an art to doing it in the middle of a series if you're a coach, isn't there? Because you got to present it positively. You've got to do it in a way that doesn't, you know, send signals that you're panicking. And I'm wondering if maybe the fact, Brian, that John knows these guys so much, that there's such a buildup of trust there, that might allow him to do something like this.
I definitely think that helps, Jeff. Knowing your players is essential for any coach in the National Hockey League, and not just knowing them. You got to know these guys inside and out now. If you don't, boy, it's really tough to be a successful coach in the National Hockey League. Now, John Cooper, I think that the changes he made, Jeff, were in some ways maybe a little bit overdue.
Okay.
You know, you've got to maintain accountability in the room. Stamkos, Kucherov, and Miller have played okay together at times throughout the playoffs, particularly on the power play. They've played really well. JT Miller didn't get many shifts on the PP with that group last night. But at 5-on-5, they haven't been the dominant force that Tampa needs them to be. And John still has to find a way, I think, to jumpstart that. The power play is wonderful, but you've got to be able to score 5-on-5. And the Lightning have been masking that problem by walking over New Jersey, storming back on Boston. And in this series here against Washington, something had to change. So I think it was a very good move by John.
You know, the other thing I think it did, too, is watching the Lightning in the first two games of this series, I was kind of struck by, I don't know if I'd say it was a lack of urgency, because I'm not necessarily a fan of using that phrase. It can be a cliche at times. But, I mean, if I'm the Lightning, if I'm Steven Stamkos, I'm looking at my situation right now, and I'm saying, you know what, Sydney's out of the playoffs now. This, you know, our window of opportunity has been open for a while, but at some point it's going to close, and at some point it may just slam shut. And if I'm the Lightning going into this series, I'm thinking this is a great shot. If you told the Lightning at the start of the year that they had to get through Washington and then one of Winnipeg or Vegas to win their Stanley Cup, they'd be all in on that. And I wonder if maybe that sense of urgency didn't creep in before Game 3.
You know what, Jeff? It's the league is so close right now. It's to me, it's like the story of mankind. People rise up, they control, dominate, get fat, lazy. Somebody else rises up and takes control. Mm-hmm. Just look at Nashville in Winnipeg. The teetering back and forth in that series. One team win, the other one would. Look at Winnipeg and Vegas. Winnipeg comes out, they crush Vegas. And then Vegas turns around and responds in a big way. I think in some ways the Tampa Bay Lightning, they handled New Jersey pretty easily. They surprised everybody and handled Boston easier than we thought. They probably thought they'd play the Penguins. Instead, the Capitals rise up and beat the Penguins. And I don't think the Lightning were necessarily prepared to start that series the way they should have been. Now they go down two games. Their back's against the wall. The Washington Capitals know full well that they were just down two games to the Columbus Blue Jackets. That third game goes into overtime, and if the Washington Capitals don't win it, they're not sitting where they are right now today. And still, the Lightning rise up. I just think it's human nature to get a little bit lazy and lose that sense of urgency that you're talking about.
Any concern at all in the lack of discipline on the part of the Capitals? Is that just a one game thing that we sometimes see in the playoffs? It almost seems as if teams get in a funk. And I don't know what the numbers are, but they almost get in a funk where one penalty kind of begets another penalty, and it's almost as if it takes a little different tone than it does in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean that was the difference for the Capitals last night. Everybody wants their players playing with emotion, a ton of emotion, and on the edge. But once you cross that line against a team like Tampa, forget it. Your percentages are going down significantly. You can't take penalties against the group. You're at home. You're jacked up. It's your chance to put a stamp, to put the Tampa Bay Lightning down, really put them behind the eight ball. And I didn't necessarily think Washington was ready to rock and roll last night. So they get a little bit behind. You try to dial up the emotion. You take a few penalties and it's game over. It really wasn't any more complicated than that.
Now, shifting focus, Brian, to the other series, to Winnipeg and Vegas, which will resume tonight at 9 o'clock on CBC and Sportsnet Ontario. I would think if you're Vegas, it was mission accomplished coming out of Winnipeg, tied one game apiece. We talked a little bit about this on the show yesterday, about how Jonathan Marchessault's ability to perform the way he did against, you know, the Jets, I mean, nominally their top line, against their best players on the ice, and how going back to Vegas and now having the last line change might even make Jonathan Marchessault even more effective. What does Paul Maurice have to do to counteract that? Because, I mean, I know the series is tied one game apiece, but through the two games of this series, I honestly think Marchessault's been probably on balance the best player in both teams.
Well, Vegas has been incredible in my little diatribe about how teams are up and down. Mm-hmm. To be fair to the Vegas Golden Knights, they have been the most consistent, not only all year long, with their level of play. Their variance has not been that great other than one brief stretch in the regular season. But the same story in the playoffs, and you have to give them credit for that. Now, were they maybe a little bit bowled over in game one, where Winnipeg can kind of throw a blitzkrieg offense at you where it's just lightning in a bottle? They just attack you and they put you down in a quick amount of time. They did that against Nashville in a few games in that series. Yes, I think that happened to Vegas. I think they were a little bit soft. I expect them to get their level back up to where it's been. And they did that in game two. Now in game three, I expect Winnipeg to respond in a big way. And I expect us to see a pretty good game for them. I think it's going to be tough for Vegas tonight.
Did you see anything out of that game from Connor Hellebuyck that would give you concern?
No, nothing that I'd be concerned about. He's played sensational. I just think as a group, Winnipeg thought it was going to be easy, including Connor Hellebuyck. And that allowed a very, very brief margin of error for Vegas to take control of that game. And that's all it takes. The league is so close now. I know we're looking at Winnipeg and saying, oh, my gosh, they're incredible. Boy, there's a lot of teams closer to them than people would know. There's a lot of variance. Any one of these four teams could still win the Stanley Cup.
You know, in some ways, there's been a bit of a similarity in this series between, in these series, I should say, plural, between Vegas and Washington. In that, you look at Washington, you look at Vegas, especially Washington, top end talent offensively. You know, Vegas has scored some goals. We know about their speed, but Brian, I got to tell you, I've been really impressed with the way both teams' defense corps have played in this series, both the Vegas Golden Knights and even, you know, last night aside, Washington. Like, I had no idea how good Dmitry Orlov was, and it seems to me that those two aspects of those, the game that those two teams play, has been a bit of a revelation in this series.
Yeah, it is. And just look at the Washington Capitals. They weren't necessarily happy with their decor heading into the trade deadline. And they made just a little bit of a tweak, and they lost a lot of players last year. Obviously, they lost Alsner, Shattenkirk, Nate Schmidt, of course, in the expansion draft. So they had big changes back there as it was. But they went out and got what seemed to be a pretty minuscule move in picking up Michael Kempe from the Chicago Blackhawks for a mid-round pick. And that's really been money in solidifying their back end and just turning them into a very good transition team in their own end. It's nothing fancy, it's not flashy, but it's consistent and it's been reliable. And that's been the difference for them, because, you know, Tampa certainly has the headliners in terms of on the back end over Washington, but Washington has been more effective on keeping the game simple, moving pucks out of the zone, and that dovetails really with what Vegas has been able to do all year. There's no superstars back there right now, although I believe Shea Theodore has a chance to really be a dominant player in this league. But they have been remarkable all year long. Marc-Andre Fleury's played tremendous, but that decor has been better even still to this point than they get credit for.
Brian, we appreciate you joining us as always. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Jeff.